Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you a tale of two brothers this morning. You see, there was an older brother and a younger brother. And there they served their father faithfully. And yet, the younger brother would go about his own doing in his own way. And often what the father asked of him, he would not do as he ought. But the older brother was much into keeping what the father asked. So that when it came time for them, the older brother would get very frustrated with the younger because he was doing everything he was supposed to do, while the younger brother didn't want to. But yet, when the father came to share his love with both of them, the same respect and honor was given to both the older and the younger brother. And this greatly offended the older. And so, even though the promise was given to both, one through the other, because first to the older, because he was born first, it would come to the second. But the older wasn't having any of it. So that when the time came, the older brother would try to hinder what was given to the younger. And there he would turn in dishonor and disrespect towards the father out of anger towards his brother of what should be shared among them both. This older and younger brother is the house of Israel and the Gentiles, the people like those from Samaria and Canaan in the scriptures. See, the Lord made a promise to his people, given through Adam and Eve, given through Abraham and Noah and David and Solomon and the prophets. A promise given that those who are descendants of Abraham would be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. And there that promise would be given first to the people of Israel. And there they would fall away, come back, fall away. And there they would struggle with what was given to them being shared with others. Even though throughout their history there would be people that would be later considered Gentiles brought into the faith, like Ruth. And there it would be that these two brothers, both loved by God, these two houses, these two peoples, would one day become one. But see, as St. Paul reminds us, is that all people were disobedient. As it says here, for God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. You see, in our sin, we come like these two brothers before God, each disobedient and breaking commandments all our own. And we fall short of what God has asked of us, and we live lives of disobedience to his commandments, to his will. Because when we focus on here and what our will is, it doesn't always in sin line up with what God has asked of us. And that's where our hymn of the day comes in. When in our hour of deepest need, we know not where to look for aid. When days and nights of anxious thought, no help or counsel yet have brought. Then is our comfort this alone, that we may meet before your throne. To you, O faithful God, we cry for rescue in our misery. St. Paul points out to the people of Israel and to the Gentiles, as he writes in Romans here, that there, he being one untimely born to be an apostle, is given to be an apostle to the Gentiles, that his job is to share the gospel with those who are not of the house of Israel. Like this woman in the gospel today, who had heard the word of God and believed. So he goes out through the people of Israel to those in the world. And he points out that there are some in Israel who now do not trust the promise given of the Messiah and don't believe. And now, as the gospel was given through the people of Israel to the Gentiles, now the gospel will come again back to Israel through the people it was given to through them. And there, the hope is in that mercy of God, that there where we are disobedient, his love would be given in abundance, in his mercy for each and every one of you, that you would receive that forgiveness of sins. St. Paul says this, "I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience. So they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy." This is our God who seeks after us. When we turn one way, he follows and calls to us. Here he is calling to you, that whatever sin is causing you to be disobedient, whatever sin you turn to in the hour of deepest need, he's calling to you. Whatever distracts you from what he has promised, he calls to you. Whatever struggle is your greatest in this life, there he is with you to lift that burden. As we sang in verse 5, "O from our sins, Lord, turn your face. Absolve us through your boundless grace. Be with us in our anguish still. Free us at last from every ill." You see, our sin, the death it brings, the flesh that fails, in every moment, every weakness, in every hour of need, your God is there with you. Because his promise was for you, as it was given to the people of Israel and passed down through the generations to each and every one of you. And that promise is for those who in this world also aren't part of the church, who have yet to hear God's word. It's even for those like the people of Israel at the time of St. Paul and Jesus, who had turned away from the promise of the Messiah and looked to themselves alone and the traditions that they had made. That promise is for them because the blood of Christ was shed for you and for all people of all time, that there Christ's blood would pay that price for sin and death and Satan's tyranny for all. It's like what we see Jesus do in the gospel today. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. You see, this woman, a Canaanite, not someone of the house of Israel, but someone who had heard the word from someone in the house of Israel, had heard of who Jesus was and what he was doing, and she knew from the word of God that this was the Messiah, the one who had come to save the house of Israel and save all people as promised in the prophets, like Isaiah, and in the Psalms, like we read today. And she trusted in the Lord. Her daughter was oppressed by a demon. We should address that word because our society nowadays focuses so much on possession in the movies and things like that. But to be oppressed by a demon is kind of like what we see Satan do to Job, where the flesh, the body, and the world around us, everything seems to fall apart. And there's an oppression on the living, and there's sickness, and there's illness, there's pain, there's suffering. And there's oppression from demons in that way. Possession is where they control the body, like we see Jesus cast those out into the pigs elsewhere in Scripture. This woman's daughter was oppressed. She was sick. She was ill. She was being attacked on the outside by demons. And she comes to Jesus, the one she knew was God in the flesh, the Son of David, the one promised of old. And at first, because Jesus knew what was going on, he said nothing. Because he knew what the apostles were thinking, he knew what this woman was dealing with. And she keeps crying out after them, calling to Christ. And the apostles didn't like this. And they say to Jesus, send her away, for she's crying out after us. Essentially, they're saying, look, she's making a scene. Have you ever been in a grocery store with a little kid who wants something, like a toy or something, and they start to throw a tantrum, and they're making a big scene? Well, the apostles are acting like she's doing this, calling out for no reason, because she didn't get her way. But that's not it. She's calling out because she has faith. She knows who Jesus is, and she believes and trust the promise given. She's like Ruth in that way. And here it is, the apostles, they're more worried about what it looks like than what's actually going on. And here Jesus reminds of that promise to both them and to the Canaanite woman. He says, I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's saying, look, I was sent as promised to them, and this is where the gift resides. But the woman does something interesting. She comes and kneels at his feet and says, Lord, help me. This should be reminiscent of what we read of Peter as he was sinking in the Sea of Galilee just the other week. She's crying out, Lord, save me, save my daughter, help us, we need you. In her hour of deepest need, the one to whom she turns, the one whom the people of Israel should be turning and leaning to, in their hour of deepest need, this woman comes to him. And for each answer Jesus gives, she has a response. Jesus next says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It'd be like this, right? If I came to church one Sunday and said, oh, you know, my dog and my cat, they're well fed. But the children, they just get the crumbs off the floor or something, right? That wouldn't sit well with anybody in the room. Because I should be feeding them and caring for the dog and the cat. Second, if I can't care for both of them, then the dog and the cat would need to be rehomed or something. It would not sit well if the children weren't fed, but the dog was. The woman's response, though, is brilliant and filled with faith. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from their master's table. That's the thing. If we let the dog roam, she will sniff around the kitchen until she finds some sort of crumb or nibble or food dropped, especially by the two younger ones. Toby's at the age where he usually doesn't drop much food on the floor, though sometimes Toby's quick at helping clean up before the dog can get there. Our previous dog, we had to be careful what crumbs he ate because he had illness and sickness that we were dealing with related to wheat and other things. But even the pets sometimes will eat the crumbs that fall to the ground of their master's house. And this faith-filled response gets this answer from Christ. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. This woman had been welcomed to sit in the house of Israel, because the faith she had was that faith given as those who hear the word of God and believe. She is one who believed and trusts in the Lord. It's the same thing for us as we live this life. There may be things out in the world that we see and we might be disgusted by. And maybe we are offended in our sensibilities, much like the apostles who were worried about what things looked like rather than the people who needed the love of God. It is our job, as we are called to, like the apostles, like this Canaanite woman, like Jesus did, to share that mercy of God with the world. It's not for ours to keep within these walls here at Trinity and just come to it and dip our toes or our fingers in the water of God's word just every Sunday. No, that gift, that blessing of the food that is God's word and the promise of the Savior, that is Jesus Christ, that is for every day of the week and is there for every person that lives in your community. Even those who we might go, I don't like how they live. But see, without knowing God's love, without knowing his mercy, without being called to repentance, they can't know that which is that Christ died for them, as he has died for each and every one of you. As we sang in verse 6 of our hymn, so we with all our hearts each day to you our glad thanksgiving pay, then walk obedient to your word, and now and ever praise you, Lord. You see, as we live hearing God's word, having it in our homes and upon our hearts and our minds, coming each week to church and bringing that word to the world, it's a glimpse at what is to come. Because the Lord has come to you in his word and in the sacraments and the water of baptism, washed you clean and made you his child. That there you would receive his great mercy. That there you would get a foretaste of the feast to come and his supper of his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That there you would receive this new life. And as we share that word with the world around us, as we call to our neighbors and bring them that hope and that joy of which we cling in our darkest hour of need, there it is that they too can call out to God, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. And there receive that same gift and promise of which we get a foretaste of what is to come, of what we see the Lord saying that he gathers all the outcasts of Israel, because it is as promised to them as it says in Isaiah. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him, besides those already gathered. Christ died for the sins of all people. He died for your sins. And he loves you and he forgives you. And the praises and the singing shall go on as it is in this life, as we have faith, calling out to our God, one day we will be on his kingdom, where the singing and the praises will never end as he gives rest from the deepest and the darkest of this life that sin and death bring. There shall never be, and there we shall rest there before him, seeing that in faith we will have all that we will need forevermore. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.